But no, welcome this morning. It is Lenten season. I want to talk a little bit about the Lenten season. It's called a Lenten season, as it's called. It's a period of 40 days from Ash Wednesday, which started last Wednesday and goes through until Easter. They don't count Sundays. That's the rest day. But as you know, the number 40 is pretty special in the Bible. Just a few, Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days and Israel in the desert for 40 years. And Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days, getting the Ten Commandments, and Noah's Ark, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the spies explored Canaan for 40 days. And a lot of the rulers, Saul and David and Solomon and some of the judges, reigned for 40 years. Their kingship lasted that long. Moses' life was basically in three 40-year segments of his life, in Egypt, then out in the desert, and being prepared, and then back. So he had 40-year segments, and Jesus appeared for 40 days after his resurrection. He didn't resign. He started all over again. Resurrection. You know, 40, generally thought as a time of testing, but I think it's also more for testing, but it's a time of preparation, and it's a time of transformation. It's to use that time to get closer to God. I want to start out 2 Corinthians today. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 10. Put 1 Corinthians down the first time, Lisa, and I started that's last week. 2 Corinthians this week, 13, 5 through 10. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong, and our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things, that when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Well, it's a time of, it's used for several things. It's a time of testing, as we said. It's a time of fasting. It's a time of prayer, time of self-examination. It's a time of repentance. And time of preparation. And, you know, some start with Ash Wednesday, use that as a sign of our mortality, or as a sign of mourning for our sin and needing forgiveness and repentance from those sins. And put the ashes on the forehead as symbolic, as a sign of that. Some use that 40-day period. I've seen charts and things to do acts of kindness for 40 days, to do acts of service, to give to maybe give to charities, and others are to perform service work. Some I've saw to just make a phone call to somebody you haven't called for a while, or send a card to somebody, or buy the lunch, you know, for the person behind you, or a cup of coffee forward, you know, for somebody, you know, just acts of service to those around you to make the world a little bit better. You know, Lent's been called a seasonal journey. We say a season, but I think it's really a spiritual journey. It's not just seasonal, it's spiritual. It is tied to new beginnings, a new life as we come to spring, but it's a spiritual journey, and it's kind of one of those times to check on our relationship with Jesus and see where we stand and see if our life here shows it, where we stand with Jesus. Read Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, talking about that life that we lead. And what people see out of it. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So as we examine ourselves, as we really look back, can we say we're living a life worthy of the calling we've received? You know, are we living that life? You know, are we mature? You know, all believers are called. Every single one are called. And God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, and you specifically. And he's got a plan laid out from the very beginning. And sometimes we don't always have to be searching in search mode. It's there. We just have to take the time to see it. Got to take the time to understand it and to see what he's doing with us. We don't have to always be searching for the next thing he wants us to do. He's already got it planned out. We just have to see it. Take the time. And as we grow physically, as we go spiritually, God's preparing us for what that calling was or what that calling is that he had from the beginning. Our spiritual journeys for our growth, you know, to set, you know, kind of set new marks, higher marks in our relationship with God, to get closer than ever before, more an intimate relationship, not just a superficial one, but an intimate relationship with God, but very close to, as Randy or somebody downstairs said, you prayed to God, but did you talk with God? You know, you can pray, it can be one-sided, but did you talk with him? Did you listen for an answer? Or did you share back and forth? But our growth is preparing us for the call that God already has given us. We may not know it yet, but if we see it, we need to see it. It's coming. But it's just to increase our relationship with God and our maturity. If you look, it's shown in our unity and faith. It shows our maturity. It shows our maturity in the knowledge of Jesus. You know, as we seek him and we learn from others. You know, I learn from others. I read commentaries. I listen to other pastors. I read what they have to say too. I learn too. So, increases our knowledge with him. And the big thing is attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's pretty awesome. That's to be what Christ called us to be in him. That's what that is. We get to be filled with him and be what he wants us to be. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, Lent's generally known as because of giving up something. You know, we give something up, fasting from something. It's supposed to be giving something up so we can spend more time with God, more time in prayer, more time examining ourselves, more time growing our relationship with God, more time in the Word, more time in meditation with Him. We're supposed to give it up for that reason. You know, fasting as a diet, that doesn't get it. That's not what it's for. That's what it means. Giving up something that's easy to give up. I could give up spinach my whole life. But that doesn't quite cut it either. That doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter to you anyways, that's not giving something up. That's not sacrificing something. It's sacrificing something you care about, you love doing maybe, for something better. And something better is your relationship with Christ. It's giving up what some people give up. You know, they give up, I'll give up TV for a while. Or I'll give up my phone. That's quite a sacrifice for a lot of people. I'll give up my phone. Or I'll give up chocolate. Or give up social media. You know, you see them get the shakes when they can't get on Facebook. What's going on? And other things they give up. More for a period of days in exchange for time with God. That's what it's for. That's what these 40 days are for. But again, you give them up for a reason. For a prayer, for thought, for a word, for service to others. To show God's in your life. To grow your life with God. To be more intimate with Him. And we set those things aside to build our relationship with Him. You know, sometimes we go through, we lose a little closeness. It's supposed to draw us back to Him. And as the day go by and the sacrifices, we make it stronger and stronger relationship. Especially this time of the year, understanding His death, burial, and the resurrection and what that means. You know, we've been through the birth, but now we're looking at really what this death, burial, and resurrection means to our life. There's once a little boy named Bobby. He desperately wanted a new bicycle. His plan was to save his nickels and his dimes and his quarters till he finally had enough to build. He wanted to buy a new 10-speed bike. So he's right here. He's focused, saving all them coins, putting them in a jar. Each night he asked God to help him save. God, help me save up for this. Help me save my money. Kneeling beside his bed, he prayed, "Dear Lord, please help me save my money for a new bike. And please, Lord, don't let the ice cream man come down the street again tomorrow." aren't we kind of like that? I'm going to do this, Lord. I want your help doing this. And I want to focus solely on this. And then, boom, something comes from the side. And we make these plans and we want to do the right thing, and then our mind loses focus and tells us something better can be had right now. You know, we lose what we had, lose our goal. You know, we need to give up things for Lent to gain more of Jesus. You know, but then life comes at us and we resort to the old ways. And we lose sight of what we're doing. You know, good intentions without solid actions won't get you anywhere. They're just good intentions. They only hold you back because you didn't do anything with them. You know, we get caught up maybe with the things that we want to do without. That's maybe some of the things in Lent, I think things is the problem. Things that we want to do without. God isn't hung up on things as much as He is you. He wants you to give up sins, not things. He wants a heart for Him, not sacrifices. He told them, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your hearts. I want you. And I think we get tied up maybe in Lent giving up things. But that's not what he wants either. He wants a heart for him. Sacrificial giving is good, but if your heart's not on him, it's just back to good intentions. Does it really matter? And generally after Lent, don't people go back and take up the things they stopped doing anyways? I'm pretty sure God desires it to be a lifetime change. Not a 40-day change, not a 10-day change. It's for life. God doesn't want the material things we give up, even though it allows us to get to that closer walk. That part's good. But he wants us to give up things that matter. He wants us to give up hypocrisy. He wants us to give up being a Sunday Christian. He wants us to give up spiritual laziness. Because I'm too busy with my things. He wants you to remove those things that mess up your relationship with him. The sinful habits, the sinful attitudes. He wants us to come to him honestly and in humility. Not with the attitude that I'm good enough. Or there's nothing wrong with me. He wants repentance. He wants a turning around. And by seeing my own faults and recognizing who I am and who God is, living a life worthy of what he's done for me. We go to Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So it's important to honestly examine our spiritual life and where we're at. Honestly examine our spiritual health. If you really take a look at it, which one are you closer to? You know, are you closer to that Pharisee? Or are you closer to that tax collector? Examine yourself. I'm going to have an invitation in a few minutes. Got another section, Matthew 15. The calendar does set days aside to look at our relationship with Jesus, from Lent to Easter, Passover to Christmas, there's Pentecost, let alone Sundays. You know, it gives us ample time, and of course Easter and Christmas are the big ones that lead us to the birth and then the death and the resurrection and what it means to us for eternal life and taking our sins away. But each and every day is a day on your spiritual journey. A day to learn, a day to grow. Don't limit it. I think God counts all the days. Counts all the days with you. Fasting, prayer, self-examination, repentance, and preparation. But it's an inward heart change, spiritual growth, not outward. Easter preparations brings about a lot of, or used to bring about a lot of, even then, everybody get new haircuts and hairdos and new dresses and new shoes and new hats and things, and you're dressed up. But is that really what it's about? We need to be respectful, but it's not about us drawing attention to us. It's not about what we have done or sacrificed. It's about what Jesus has done and sacrificed. It's about His resurrection. It's about renewal. It's about being changed into what God has always called us to be. Time to acknowledge that almost everything is wrong with us. And only Jesus allows us to overcome those things. It's not giving up things. It's giving up self. But giving in to Jesus. Knowing that we're all sinners in need of mercy. Matthew 15:8-9 says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are merely human rules." You know, we can't honor or worship God if our hearts aren't in the right place. If our hearts aren't in alignment with God's hearts. If you're going to give up the right things. That will give your spiritual journey an increase of your relationship with God, your love for God, a renewed relationship with a loving God who claims you as His child, a Jesus that died and rose again for you. Give up those things that give you the fullness of Christ. Give up those things that help you lead a life worthy. Let's pray. Father, we come to this time of Lent.